This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino back with you to talk about 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days for episode number 3. And we have a lot to talk about with a man, and don't call him a super fan of 90 Day Fiancé. That's Mr. 90 Day Fiancé to you. It's Puya Zanvakili. Puya, how are you?
Rob, I am doing great. I am on the road right now, coming to you live from Caleb's neck of the woods. A lot less douchier, I promise.
Okay. Did you realize how much work it was going to be to travel and then carry all your stuff and get to where you needed to go?
Yeah, Rob, I finally understand. I understand what you do when you are on the road and you have to podcast.
Bring
I
your brought, stuff.
There's so many wires coming out of my laptop right now. I have a 100-foot, cable for the internet. I've got my hub, my camera, my microphone.
You brought a 100-foot Ethernet cable with you.
I did, because we're in the basement. We took the basement room, and I had to. And I, the thing is, I only have 100-foot cables for the Ethernet. I don't have any other size, so I had to make sure that it reaches the modem. And luckily, there's enough give, but it was about the right size, so it worked out great.
So, how many feet did you need?
About 90.
Oh,
about 85,
okay.
90. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, 90 feet, fiance.
Exactly. Not a little bit less.
Yeah. So, all right. We're going to talk about a week number 3 here of 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days. We got some interesting backstory on a few different couples here. I do think that this seemed like this was a lighter episode. Maybe Christmas weekend, Puya. Maybe they didn't want to necessarily give up all of the goods this week.
Yeah, all they did was they gave us Ella and her storyline. We just got introduced to Ella, which was exciting. But then ultimately, everyone else had just arrived and we're starting to peel back their story. But the big part of it is not here yet. That'll probably be next week and the week after when they all start settling in and figuring out each other's flaws.
Okay. The 90 Day Fiancé season, I feel like that, yeah, we meet all these characters in the beginning, but I think that sometimes it takes a little while to really get into the momentum of everybody's story.
Well, I do think that's also a product of their commitment to making these episodes an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. Like the show as a 45-minute episode would be great because it will be just the great hits, just the big moments. But then when you have an hour and a half, you got to throw some filler in there and a little bit of just B-roll or shots that wouldn't make it normally. And then I feel like that's what would cause the drag out, because I will say watching The Single Life, Rob, it is just action-packed all the way through with little filler.
And really, that this is sort of like the before the 90 day. So we still have to do the disapproving friend and family members. We still got to do going to the airport. We got to do meeting at the airport. Everybody needs to go through those basic five or six intro steps to get into then when the action is going to be going on. So we're 6 hours into this season. But I think that basically after this week, I feel like all the pieces are set.
Now we're ready to go. It's like this was the pregame. We're ready to party now. Now we're gonna get all the meats and potatoes for everyone moving forward into the rest of the season.
Yeah, hopefully not too much meat on the plate, unless Gino is gonna be ordering for the table.
Yeah, Gino's the only one that's going to be going all meat, all potato all the time. Everyone else might throw some variety up in there.
Okay, well, let's start off with our first new couple this week. And that is going to be, we spent a lot of time with Ella. And Ella has a romantic interest in Johnny.
Oh, yes. Ella has a lot of red flags for me. So I'm very excited to peel back the Ella story here for the listeners. This was wild. We learned everything that you could possibly learn about Ella. And there were moments that I felt for Ella, but then there were a lot of moments where I was like, I can't help but, you know, kind of feel a little cringed out by what I'm hearing from Ella.
Okay. So let's talk through that. What's the big red flag here with Ella?
All right. So first we learn from Ella, the first scene we see her B-roll, she gets dressed, goes outside, and she's doing a little cosplay, Rob. She decides, today I'm a soul reaper. And she's outside in her backyard with a sword, and she's, you know, going after this samurai, and it's all lovely. You know, she's having fun. But then this is the segue where Ella tells us that she is, and I'm quoting, super into Asian culture. And it's not just cosplay. It's more than cosplay. She also loves fantasy, she tells us. She painted her whole house purple. This was as a result of, I guess, liking fantasy. She has a collection of dragons. She has a collection of anime posters. And then that's all we really learn about her being into the culture. So it was basically anime, cosplay, fantasy equals I'm a fan of the culture. I was like, well, I don't know about that. I feel like there's a little bit more that you're missing here.
Yeah. Also, it seems like that, you know, Asia is a continent. I feel like that to say that, like, you know, now again, this is me not being necessarily like an expert in the area here, but I would imagine, you know, Chinese culture is not the same as Korean culture, is not the same as Japanese culture, is not the same as Vietnamese culture. So just like it seems a little weird. Like my thing is I love anything Asian.
Yes, she treats it. It feels like she's treating it like it's a monolith. Like it's all the same because, you know, she tells us that, oh, my God, Johnny is my perfect man. And like, I'm into all these things. But then she was pretty much showing us, you know, the samurai and stuff. That's Japanese culture. That's not Chinese culture. Johnny is Chinese. So that's what I felt like, too, was it was you're pretty much putting all of it in a box and saying this is all one thing. And it gave me shades of Tariq when we got introduced to him that first time. And he's like, I love everything Thailand. But he was specific to he loves everything Thailand. And then Hazel just happens to not be Thai. So that was the difference there. But with Ella, it just feels like she puts all of this in one box. But then we do get the backstory as to why Ella may have gravitated towards the world of fantasy. Specifically.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's her escape. Yeah. Ella certainly seemed like that she had some issues with people making fun of her in her school days about her weight. She seems like she wants to make some overtures to change that about herself. There's some talk with Johnny is going to come and cook her healthy dinners because, but I mean, Asian food is very healthy, Puya.
That is actually Ella's words. She's like, you know, there's vegetables. It's healthy. I'm like, listen, I've had my fair share. Some of it healthy. Some of it very much not healthy. You know, I could eat crab rangoons every day forever. I know they're not healthy. I know the truth. I know the truth out there. But no, So Ella's whole story about telling us about her high school days, like she felt unwanted. She didn't feel like she belonged. It made her not want to go to school. And she, you know, fantasy ended up being a place for her to escape from all this. And then she tells us, Rob, that she stopped looking for men in Idaho because the one she met did not treat her well. So she decided to go and look for her fantasy, which her fantasy was red hair, green eyes with a fox demon inside him. At all of that, it's Johnny who doesn't have any of those
descriptions. Yeah, do they have that?
Yeah. How do you put that in the search?
I don't know. The fox demon.
Yeah. I'm not sure how you go about that. I mean, unless the, you know, someone who's very like toxic tendencies or works for Fox News or something.
That's a
like,
Fox okay, demon.
Yeah. Or for like the Fox Network or something like that. Maybe that's how you get that. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. But she meets Johnny, who's 34.
Yes.
And Rob, I was fascinated because she tells us again, I want to make sure, you know, I'm quoting Ella here. She says that, yeah, after the Idaho stuff, my next man had to be Asian. So she went on an app called Asian Men, White Women. And then she found Johnny.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So she said it was a page, not necessarily an app that, what do you think, a Facebook group this is?
Could be a Facebook group, could be a forum board. It could be a page on an app for all I know. I don't know. I mean, it makes sense that it would be an app. I was like, that's a very specific app to be out there.
Yeah. So, all right. So Johnny had a profile on Asian men, white women. And here's Johnny.
And apparently they have a lot in common. They both love anime is what we hear. They became official about 6 months prior to this moment, but they'd been talking for a year and a half. So they've got that going for them. She tells us we have some stuff in common like anime, but then, you know, just like I'm obsessed with Asian culture, Johnny's obsessed with Western culture. But then the picture they choose to show us of Johnny is him standing in front of a bunch of Colt handguns in like some exhibit.
Yes. Yes. Now, when he is obsessed with Western culture, is he obsessed with life in the Western Hemisphere, or is he streaming Yellowstone 1883 this weekend?
See, that's a great question. Which direction is this? I would have thought, you know, I would have said, yeah, I was very much into Western culture, but then I would have described it with, yeah, I watched all of Fresh Prince growing up. I loved Full House. That's how I would have described it.
Right.
I can't tell with Johnny. I feel like he's excited to visit and experience the USA, how he's seen it, more so than maybe the shows is what I'm thinking.
Okay. Now, we'll find out that Ella is a collector of sorts during this episode. But one of the first things we find out is that she also seems to have a collection of dog hats. Do you think that Johnny knows about the collection of tiny dog hats?
I don't know if Johnny's seen this. I have no idea.
Because that would be a deal breaker for me.
Really? A dog hat's no-no for you. How much is a collection?
How many dog hats do we need?
What's the deal? What's the number for you, Rob? Like, if it's four, is it fine? Is four okay?
Look, as a past dog owner, my wife had several dog hats. The dog doesn't like wearing hats.
No pet does. No pet's a fan of the clothing you give them. Never. It's more so for our amusement, and we know it.
Yeah, look, and maybe you have like a small breed of dog that you know, put a sweater on them, is called out. Okay, maybe there's some function there, but the dog cowboy hat, dog fireman hat, the dogs, they don't need this.
Okay, so what I'm hearing, Rob, is that you're more so out on the dog hats in general than a collection. I think just even two hats, you might be out.
I don't think a dog needs any hats.
Well, tell that to Gino.
Yeah, I'm the Jasmine. Like, let me take off the hat. Take off the hat.
Yeah. No hats, please. Hat no off hat. Now.
No hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take off the hat now. Okay. All right. Mom is worried about Ella. Doesn't think that this could work out. Ella's been burned before, Puya.
Yeah, so Debbie, the mom, definitely has some reservations. Obviously, she should. Legally, she is. Skeptical parent. You got to check that off every episode. It was interesting because the mom, I could kind of tell where Ella's insecurities may come from, because the way the mom was talking to her about keeping a man and finding people, she kind of put Ella down a little bit. I thought it was like, because Ella said, you know, I know I'm not the I'm a prize, but I'm not the prize. And Debbie was like, exactly. It's like, Debbie, that's your daughter. Like, yeah, hype her up a little bit. Come on. Oh, my God. So we find out that Ella's grown up on this ranch that her family has had for four generations. And her dream is one day to take over the ranch with Johnny. And obviously, Debbie's a little bit skeptical about
that. And he loves Westerns.
Yeah. he's perfect for this role. If he just learns about the stuff and he seems keen, I think he could do better. I would say he would do better than Julia would on any kind of farm. I feel like Johnny seems like he's more interested.
Yeah, he doesn't mind the smelly animals.
I wouldn't think so. Mm-hmm. It's not gonna come up yet. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think that he could be into this, that he is going to eventually come here. Is that what the plan is? Or is she going to go see him?
No, so she wants to see him, but because of the pandemic, she says, well, I can't go to China. But the plan is he's applying for a travel visa to visit her in Idaho and to stay with her for 3 months.
Okay. All right. So I didn't even know we could do that on before the 90 day.
What, have the counterpart come in? Well, yeah. I feel like this is one of those moments, Rob, where they saw their profiles and they thought, you are gold. We'll make it happen. We'll make an exception for you.
Yeah. Okay. We are going to bend the rules here on before the 90 day. For
I guess technically it's still before the 90 day period, because I think he would still have to do the K-1 visa to then move permanently. Right. So we can make that could make sense. But then also some of the countries wouldn't be allowed into the U.S. or would have trouble. So that's why the before part works. But no, it is fascinating, because I do like when we get at least one couple that does it the other way around. Is good.
Okay. So we're going to see Ella go off on some sort of like Sex in the City brunch with her lady friends, Sonia. And then there's another person they pick up.
Corby, her best friend from high school. Yeah, Corby.
Is that short for something?
Maybe. I don't know. I've never heard of the name. Could be a nickname.
Okay. So, all right. Sonia is her roommate, current roommate or past roommate?
No, Sonia is the current roommate of 8 months now.
Yeah, they're like sisters, Ella and Sonia.
Yeah, exactly. Also, Corby seems to be a name from Scotland, or could be short for Corbin.
Corbin. Okay. Yeah. I like that name. So, all right. Then they're going to go pick up Corby. We hear a little bit about how Johnny is going to be cooking for Ella. He has not seen, a full body photo of Ella, may not be aware of her weight.
Yeah. So what we hear and what the vibe I got from Ella is that Ella does show, you know, they do video chats and stuff, but there might be photos taken at an angle, maybe a little bit of touch up done. We know for sure she's shown her face. We've seen him in a video compliment her face, but he might not really know beyond that a lot. But Rob, we heard that they get intimate on video chat, so they definitely are doing stuff.
Well, yes, we'll explore that.
Oh, thank God.
Just one other thing about Johnny. Johnny has a son. His name is Stoney.
Yes, Stoney. Good old Stoney. 5-year-old son who he has full custody of. He is a divorced single dad, but the son lives with Johnny's grandparents so that he can go to work and stuff, and then he still sees his son a couple times a month as well.
Yeah, and Stoney's mom allegedly already has like another family. Again, we do not hear from Stoney's mom. We don't really get to hear her side of the story, but the show kind of paints her as being sort of just like abandoning her kid and going off to a new life.
Yeah, she's the villain of the story, the way they've made it seem for us. And Johnny is the hero. However, there is a couple more things that they talk about as friends before we get to the story that I know we're going to touch on. Is that so apparently Corby is married to a man named Pao. Pao is her husband, who was born in Asia. And there was this weird exchange with Ella, where Ella was like, yeah, I was very irritated because, you know, Asian's my thing.
That's my thing.
How could you do that?
That's my thing. Yeah.
You can't call dibs on a continent.
I call dibs. You don't even like Asian culture like I do.
That's such like, first of all, you can't gatekeep a society. Mm-hmm. That's just not a thing. Mm-hmm. And then moreover, to give your friend grief like this, it was a little awkward. I mean, I'm sure it seemed like it was tongue in cheek. Corby didn't seem bothered by it. But given everything else we learned, I was a little bothered by it. So I wanted to put that out there. Then the other thing was her friends brought up that the one red flag they have on Johnny is that he's going to leave his child behind to come see Ella in Idaho. And Sonia, the roommate, says, in my culture, you don't leave your child behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, first of all, he's not abandoning the child. He's coming here for 3 months. He's going to see your friend who you love and adore and you think is worth it. He's going to test the waters and he's going to go back and he's with the grandparents. Yeah. Sonia was making mountains out of nothing.
Yeah. And, you know, to Sonia, who says that, you know, a parent wouldn't want to leave a child behind. This sounds like a woman who might not have been in lockdown with kids for a couple of years. You'd consider it, Sonia.
Yeah, I could tell that she had an experience Zoom school when I eyeballed her, Rob. So you do have the leg up there for sure.
Where am I going? What? Oh, okay. Yeah. Fine. Saturn? Okay. Well, I'll check it out. Okay.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. They're making some good points in Saturn. Yeah.
All right.
Let's go check it out.
Puya, but we need to talk about the relationship between Ella and Johnny, because that they're not just chatting away, okay? Things have advanced.
They have. Sexually. Mm-hmm. Digitally.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
So while we have not gotten, I guess, a full body like 360 shot for Ella, they have had intimate time over video.
Yes. And I'm going to try and phrase this in the cleanest way possible. So
okay.
Bear with me.
Okay.
Ella will go to second base and then solo. And then on the other side of the world, Johnny will reach completion, will arrive at the destination. But then while making weird faces, and again, Ella says this, she's like, and I just watch him make weird faces while arriving at the destination, which I thought, if it's weird, why are you looking at it? Like, it just feels like a weird thing to describe it as.
In fairness to Ella, like, if you know, like, where do you want him to point the camera? I mean, what angle do you want? If you're directing this film.
Uh-huh. Well, it's not going to get nominated for an Oscar. I'll tell you that right here, first of all. It depends, Rob. It depends.
You want a reaction shot? What do you want?
I don't. It's like we FaceTime all the time. We're not doing other time all the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends on the preference of the person, ultimately, with these activities, mm-hmm. what everyone wants to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know. Is Johnny on a tripod here? I mean, I feel like that, we heard Ella talk about how, you know, this can be difficult to navigate the holding the phone.
Well, he's on a tripod. I don't know if his phone is. That's the question. I feel like ultimately for me, the only thing that I have a qualm with is if you're talking about something being weird, I don't want to see it. All right, I will tell you all this. Rob pulled out a selfie stick. He is now practicing what might work, and he's trying to figure it out by doing the activity himself.
Well, I mean, the trick is, I think you don't want the selfie stick in the shot. I mean, I think that the art of using the selfie stick is that you never want to make it look like you're holding a selfie stick. So you kind of want to be like natural of having a the selfie stick like sort of out of the frame.
I feel like for that, the ideal it's a two-hander activity, I feel like. Not necessarily.
The selfie stick?
No, not having the selfie stick is ideal is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like a tripod would probably make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is one of those situations where my podcaster self wants to say, well, maybe we'll find out down the line. But personally, I'm saying I'm good with the level of mystique they leave us with here. I'm okay not finding out how they go about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, listen, Ella is, we find out, a very sexual person. Okay. Mm-hmm. We find out she does not just have a dragon collection. She does not just have a tiny dog hat collection.
Yeah, she has an electric toothbrush collection, but the toothbrush part is silent.
She has a collection of electric devices that help her with her activities.
Yes, and we find this out from her roommate, who breaks that news to her best friend from high school, Corby. Sonia's like, yeah, it's not just the dragon. She's got other collections too. So interesting.
Yeah. Corby was surprised. She found that very surprising. And Sonia's like, well, no, it's true. She has she's like, you know how she has like a lot of dragons? And Corby's like, I had no idea. Hey, Corby, it's 2021. Okay.
Yeah, everyone's got access, Corby. Relax, okay?
Yeah.
That's how the world is.
Yeah, okay? Don't yuck anybody's yum, Corby, okay?
Yeah. At all. Mm-hmm. And to be clear, we were not yucking Johnny and Ella's yum. We were just confused about the technological implications and how it would go about using them.
We're just asking questions that we didn't, we don't direct the show.
Yeah, we're broadcasters. We're curious from that standpoint. Like, mm-hmm. I got all this tech. What's the ideal way? I don't know.
I'm always thinking about, like, what's the best way to do this? I work in production, Puya.
Exactly. You're like, would a ring light be better? Or should they get, like, two lights? Is that the move? Yeah. It's a lot of decisions that have to be made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Front-facing camera, back-facing camera. What do you want to do?
Yeah. I mean, we all know front-facing camera is the weaker camera on any phone.
It's the worst camera.
Exactly. So how do you go about it? Do you just put the back camera facing you, but then you don't know how you're looking? Do you need that to adjust as you go along? But then are you looking at yourself? It's a whole, it's complicated. It's complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's my idea. Okay. Invent a new phone. Okay. It's got the back camera in the front.
Okay. There you go. And is this camera being advertised as the best camera for these activities? Like, is that the marketing?
Are you in
point?
A long distance relationship?
Take this camera.
Yeah.
It's called back to front.
I don't know if that's the right name.
We can workshop it. We don't have to release right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. It's got the front. It's got the back camera in the front. And maybe we can get like Sir Mix-a-Lot involved in like the marketing campaign of like, hey, my baby's got back in the front. What? Yeah. Check out my new iPhone 15.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Baby's got front. Maybe got front.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not fronting. I am now.
Yeah.
Are you fronting? Yeah.
I look forward to the 900 units we sell of this.
Yeah. Well, I know one couple that'll be picking this up.
I mean, if any phone decided
make one
to
in purple.
All the colors. I think you want to have that variety. People do like picking customizable options.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying for Ella, this is the one for her.
Oh, that she will buy that the pre-order. It's done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. We'll see that Ella has been unlucky in love before. There was another guy she met up with, described only here as the Indian guy that she met up with him. And then in person, he did not want anything to do with her.
Yeah, she met a guy from India and it just didn't pan out. She thought he was the one. But yeah, when they were together, he didn't really give her any advancement, which made her feel very self-conscious and insecure as well. That she's the problem, basically. Mm-hmm. So she says that she's decided until she meets Johnny, she can't fully trust him.
Yep.
So that's a fair decision, I think, from Ella.
You know, there's a lot of that here in the 90 Day Fiance before the 90 Day. It's like, hey, we are one way on video chat on the FaceTime, but like, what's it going to be like in real life?
Right. And I feel like it's definitely a very valid concern. You know, as someone who met their partner online first and then met them in person, I've told Liana this. So I was sweating bull. I was so worried because, like, I don't know how it's going to be in person. Like, the hope is that the vibes are the same, the jokes are bouncing off the same way, the attract, like, everything fits in that moment when you're in person. When it does, it's a moment of like, oof, thank God.
What a relief.
But the lead up is like, well, you never know. You never know with these things, because no matter how open you are to someone online or digitally, you might not be able to put out that same energy or give that same energy in person, which will be very, very difficult. So that's why when I hear someone describe someone as, yeah, they were how I thought they were going to be when we met in person, that's perfect, because they represented themselves very well. I think I find myself to be very outgoing, talkative, expressive when I'm online, whether I'm texting or on a video call. But then in person, if I'm meeting someone for the first time, I'm very shy and very quiet. And I can't help it. That's just who I am. But then mm-hmm. it's like, well, that's not who you were expecting right out the gate, potentially. So we'll see.
Okay. We will see. Next step, you think that we're going to go and check out Johnny's life? Or do you think that we're going to get Johnny out here?
No, I think the next time on does show us meeting Johnny a little bit. Johnny's going to be talking to his mom and expressing to her who Ella is. Because I saw the mom say, well, what is she big? And then Johnny says, it's America. They eat a lot of desserts and meat and stuff. So we're going to meet Johnny and his family.
Yeah,
we'll see how we feel about them. Yeah, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I got to talk about Kimberly and Usman / Soulja Boy. I feel like we move the ball forward a lot here with Kimberly.
They delivered. They delivered, and I can't wait to talk about them.
All right. We'll talk about that right after this.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, Puya, let's talk about Kimberly. She arrives in Tanzania. She's headed to the hotel room, and she is going to be heading out for the recording of the big music video.
Yeah, so she, as we know, she got invited or invited herself to Tanzania for the shooting of the video,
debatable.
Zara. Who knows? If you ask... if you ask Usman's friends, they have a different answer than what
Slam
she has.
T.
Mm-hmm. Slam T, Bad Moves. They might have other thoughts on it. But then she arrives at the airport, right? And then she leaves. She gets someone approaches her for a cab, and she's like, "Are you good?" He's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Okay." She's like, "Well, you better be, because I was in the military." And then she gives us a Philip Shepard-esque confessional about how she was in the military and she could kill someone with her bare hands. And I was like, all right, Kimberly, first of all, relax. Okay, you're on vacation.
She was the secretary.
Yeah, we learned a lot about her this episode. But Rob, the resort she went to is beautiful.
Yeah.
I was jealous.
Nice resort.
Very jealous.
Nice resort. Mm-hmm. So Kimberly, so Usman says she can come. Kimberly, who is either independently wealthy or going to be like deeply in debt after her run-in with Soulja Boy, she ends up getting the honeymoon suite at said resort.
Yes. So she books the honeymoon suite, and she tells us she has intentions here.
Yeah.
She has plans, and the honeymoon resort is her making sure those plans are met. I mean, based on the amount of expenditure we saw from her in this episode alone, and based on the place we saw her living at, I didn't think the two match, but also she is the person who's put $8,000 on a Michael Jackson hat. So she has means,
yeah,
probably.
That hat may be going up for sale sometime soon to recoup some of the costs of this trip.
Which, honestly,
if you are
I know
a Michael Jackson
break her
collector,
heart.
I have some good news. There might be
there
another hat
assets.
On the market.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
my oh my, did she put money on this? It's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Okay, so she gets set up at the room. She again, not not her boyfriend yet. She is potential.
Yes. I was thinking about it, and I think potential might be one of the worst things. Like, I'd rather be called someone's friend than someone's potential. Because potential is just purgatory. It's a you don't know, you're hoping for the best, but could get the worst. And if I flew out to see someone as a potential, that is so much on the heart and on the line. It's a bad spot to be, Rob.
Yeah, because in the potential, it's not really like you are on the same page. There is a power disparity in being potential. Like, he is the bachelor and you are a contestant at that point where you are a potential.
Yes, you're not the applicant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't like that dynamic at all. I don't want to be on either side, specifically on the side of the applicant as well, because you have more to lose. But then, so she arrives a day before he does. The next day comes through, Rob, and it's time for her to go get Usman. And what better way to go greet your potential than wear a t-shirt with his face on it?
Yeah, that's good. They get some of that Usman merch.
It's a power move, Rob. Would you, and you don't tell Nicole this, but would you wear a t-shirt with her face on it one day as a surprise? Do you think that would land well?
If I had a t-shirt with Nicole, like a poster of Nicole on the t-shirt, would she like it? I think it would go over well. I think she would like it.
Okay, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It might depend on the picture for me. I feel like I could pick a embarrassing Liana photo and no, you know what? Liana's good. She would appreciate the meme of it. I think she'd be okay. I think I wouldn't be in the doghouse. I'd be fine.
Okay. She's also going to bring roses to Usman.
A big bouquet of roses. Yes. And this is not the roses we saw her decorate the entire honeymoon suite with, which we do see later.
Mm-hmm.
Separate from that.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe I'm wondering if Usman told her he likes roses. Because he seemed to react positively. I would not necessarily like going to go and meet somebody and they are going to hand me a bouquet of roses. Because it's like, wait, carry this around now?
Right. It's a great gesture because it's all about the gesture and what we have been taught the gesture to mean. It's a sign of affection. So it's great. But then I don't want to lug it around, especially if I've got my own luggage to carry.
Petals fall off, his thorns. Right. It's always like dripping water. I don't want to carry roses around.
It might be more of a burden. I mean, depends on who, right? I feel like some people right now are listening, like, you guys are ridiculous. If someone gave me a bouquet of roses, be like, that's so amazing. That's so sweet. It is sweet. But then I have to smile as I transport it, and I don't like that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not to be all Caleb-y over here, but I don't want to carry around another thing.
Oh my God, Rob, that is so different, though. Caleb, don't put yourself in that camp.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, you're better than that.
Okay, I'm better than that. Okay, all right. So we see now. Okay, shift to Usman. He is getting ready to go and pick up Kimberly. He's going with his guys, Slam T and Bad Moose. They're gonna, you know, those are the guys that are coming. Did we see Bad Moose last week? I think we think his name was Bad Moves.
Yeah, we did Bad Moose dirty by thinking his name was Bad Moves.
Bad Moves is a better name. I'll be honest. Okay, so Bad Moose and Slam T are going to go to the airport. Soulja Boy has one instruction: don't call Kimberly Superfan.
Right. And that was a very interesting thing we learned because initially Slam T says, do you think your superfan's here? And Usman's like, do not call her that. Call her a fan. And I thought, hold on. He can call her a fan, but not a superfan. Why? Is there implications that a superfan is like wild or too much? Like, what is the connotation they put on this?
Superfan, I guess, is sort of like a stalker.
I think that's what they're alluding to, which points can be made depending on what fandom we're looking at. Superfan could not be a great word. Depending.
Okay. Yeah, don't call Kimberly a superfan. Soulja Boy meets Kim and says that actually she's much better than he expected.
Way better. He tells way us better. Way better.
Whoa, mm-hmm. What was he expecting?
I do not know. I have no idea. But then he tells us that he tells us in confessional that it was way better than what he was expecting. But then he tells her, yeah, you don't look 50 at all. You look 31, 32.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good with like eyeballing people's ages, but then I could tell Usman is letting it on a little thick.
Mm-hmm.
No offense to Kimberly, mm-hmm. of course.
Yeah. Okay. So Slam T comes out. First thing he says to Kimberly is that he calls her a super fan.
Yep. Hey, super fan. Immediate, don't call me that.
Yeah, literally. Rule number one, don't call her super fan. Slam T comes out. First thing he does, calls her super fan. And is this Slam T is trying to sabotage this from the jump, Puya?
Yeah, this is Slam T understanding the assignment, but deciding not to do it. He's like, I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bring it. I don't care. Because it felt very much so that it was clear that was one request and he decided not to do it. It got a complete rise out of her. He got to play the I don't get it card, and it made her more mad because she seems like she's unreasonable for not liking it. So it's a slam dunk for Slam T because of what he wants to do.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just ask you this question. The guys feel like that the relationship with Kimberly is not good for Soulja Boy's image.
Yes.
Do you concur?
Okay. So it depends on what kind of image are they talking about. And it's very clear they're talking about they want him to be a successful rapper, celebrity mm-hmm. person. And I think that based on, you know, the things we see on the internet, things we see in the news, Kimberly would not be your conventional partner of a successful rapper or celebrity, right? I think they expected Zara to fit that mold more than mm-hmm, Kimberly would.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're feeling. And I think that they are attempting to put a divide here because they feel that very strongly.
So what Slam T and Bad Moose are saying is that, so this is not ideal for Soulja Boy to be dating or have a potential 50 year old woman / super fan as his romantic interest, potentially fiance.
Yes, I think that's what it is. And their alternatives are either you go with someone younger or mm-hmm. you roll single because you're a rapper yeah. or a celebrity and like you got to be like solo.
But Puya, may I play devil's advocate for a moment?
Please. Yes.
Could this not be good for Soulja Boy's image? I mean, think about this. Okay, so here is Kimberly. Kimberly, she's got the MacBook Pro. She's got the PS5. She says, hey, that he could have another wife. He could have another family. Doesn't he look like the ultimate baller that he has just this other relationship that's there to buy him PS5s? He's such a catch that all this other woman just wants to be around him, will shower him with gifts. Slam T, and he's on TV. Soulja Boy might not be some punk idiot like you think. Slam T, give my man some credit.
He is very calculated in what he's doing, and he is reaping quite a bit of reward. We can see this with clear eyes, obviously. However, I think as far as the public image goes, Rob, the fact that he's already done this before with someone else makes it look like more of a pattern that is uncool than cool. So that is probably the issue here.
Is Soulja Boy cool?
I think cooler he's than cool. Akiva, yes.
Put it on the census. Is Usman cool?
I would love to see it. I would love to see what people think about it. I mean, he is now the coolest kid in his neighborhood because, Rob, he has something that a lot of us did not were not able to get our hands on during this pandemic, which you've already alluded to. But the gifts Kimberly gave him.
You're not talking about Kimberly.
No, no, I'm talking about what Kimberly brought in present for.
Yes. A PS5. Yes. I mean, so, boy, like, I mean, Puya, if you found out that, like, in addition to, I already have a wife, but then I had another wife who was just out there who was, like, giving me presents, and then that everybody was cool with this arrangement, you said, boy, Rob must have something going on.
Yeah, what is Rob's assets? Like, what does he bring into the table? Like, it would be a big allure, a big, like, I need to investigate this. Yeah. What is he doing?
And then, you know, maybe behind the scenes, like, I have some, like, some producer type, let's just call him Slam M. And he'd be like, hey, what are you doing? This isn't good for your image. Then why do you have this other lady who's your other wife who is just, like, buying you presents? Like, what if this got out? Like, look, mind your own business, Slam M.
But then I definitely realized the devil's advocate you played, because I don't think you'd listen to Slam M either. Like, you'd be like, what is Slam M on? Like, no, that's not. I'm not going to listen to that. Yeah. Okay, I get you a little bit more now, Rob. I do.
So much more. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, look, Soulja Boy is like, I think he's a, you know, a smooth operator. He's calculated.
Rob, he got these gifts while looking a potential suitor in the face and telling them, you are not my girlfriend. You are my potential.
You are potential.
I would love to go through the steps before he receives these gifts that he got. So she walks him into his hotel room. She's like, I'm going to let him freshen up or whatever. Come to my room after you're done. I want to give you your presents. So then he shows up and he sees the rose petals everywhere, and she's done this, like, grand romantic gesture. And his immediate reaction was, why are you doing this? Like, what is this? I thought your potential. We're not there yet. And then, well, you know, he thinks that it's too much that she got the most expensive room because he's not her boyfriend yet. So he tells us all of this stuff, and we obviously know that she thinks she can convince him to stay with all these gestures. And then she presents him with first a MacBook, because he broke his. So a whole MacBook, that is not cheap either. Then the PS5. And then, again, to her face, Usman says, you know, you're really looking like a good potential right now. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You're doing it right, but in the potential department.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that Kimberly misplayed this here, Puya. So I think that Kimberly needs to say, okay, like, I have these wrapped boxes over here. Wonder what's inside them. I guess that if somebody sleeps in my room tonight, the first person to sleep in my room tonight can open one of these boxes tomorrow morning.
And that would be
this
the way.
This is like, the bad guys, like, steal your family member, and then you gave them the suitcase with $1 million in it, but then but you didn't get the family member back at the same time. You just gave them the suitcase.
Yeah, it's like she was going for, like, the emotional blackmail, but then gave away everything and then isn't going to be able to successfully pull
Kimberly
it off.
Kimberly fumbled the bag.
Yes, and I'll say this. I've never thought I was closer to seeing someone make love to a gaming console than when Usman was hugging Usman, and kissing his PS5.
Yeah, PS5, that P stands for more than potential, okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a couple letters missing in between the P and the S. It was very much getting hot and heavy, because he kissed the PS5 more times than he kissed Kimberly.
Yeah.
Which Kimberly should be, like, many red flags, but I think Kimberly is convinced that she can. She feels, she said to us, you know, Rob, she's persuasive. She thinks she can change this potential into a we're together.
Do you think that the actual love of Usman / Soulja Boy is electronic equipment and not like what we're talking about with Ella, Puya? Because he seemingly falls for the PS5. But did you notice Usman's shirt?
I do not. What did the shirt say?
The shirt said, big letters, USB.
Rob, yes, that is a great, great shout. But I must confess, given the fact that I've listened to his music a bunch, I know that that's his like his broadcasting company.
Oh,
his,
USB?
Okay. USB, yeah.
Okay. The USB port, that's where you hang out to see Soulja Boy?
I mean, if his company's name is USB, just like you've called it your studio, your apartment, calling it the port, that's good at marketing right there. I like that.
Okay. All right. So we'll see. But Kimberly, not happy. Not happy. But where's she going? Where's she going? Is she going to leave?
She is not going anywhere.
She's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Even when Usman said to her, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm still going back to my room, and took the console with him, she'll be here tomorrow morning.
She has what we call no leverage, no hand for Kimberly. Yeah.
Right. And then in the next time on with them, we find out that there is a woman who has found out that Usman's in the city and has organized to meet with him. And then so he meets up with this artist with Kimberly there. And then the artist goes, well, I know why you're here, but why is Kim here? And Rob, this is when we said we're going to get to the deep dives and to the good bits. This is the good bits from next week that we can expect, because I think Kimberly's going to show her signs of getting annoyed.
Yep. So let's see. And let's find out if Slam T and Bad Moose might have actually had a point here. OK, we'll find out next week with Kimberly and Soulja Boy. We should spend some time with Memphis and Humza this week, because we got to see a lot more about Humza, what's going on his end of things, where we really just saw only Memphis's side for the first 2 weeks of the show, Puya.
Yes. So this episode, both for Humza and then later on with Ximena, this is where we meet the non-American counterparts properly for the first time, because they did the same sequence where they show us Memphis arrives at the airport, gets on the flight, is excited, about to get there. And then they zoom back out to 48 hours earlier and we meet Humza. So here are the things we learned about Humza.
Yeah.
He loves kickboxing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then his quote's not mine. He does prefer a plump girl with a sexy body. He doesn't like a boring woman. He does give us some insight into people in Tunisia society might see American women as a little bit loose or like non-conservative, but he doesn't. And then he says, well, I don't like a boring woman. I do wish he had less relationships. Not going to lie. The more
Pick
Humza
a lane,
spoke,
Puya.
There were a lot of red flags, Rob, basically, with Humza. It was like, oh, he's talking, he's body positive. Nope, he's a douche. He's saying, you know, there's some outdated thinking in my society, but no, he's backing it. So he was playing jump rope with me for like 20 minutes here.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
Okay. So, yeah, we see Humza at kickboxing practice that he's like he's got a friend who pretty supportive friend that, you know, the skepticism is going to come from the family here. His friends are seemingly on board. Friends is going to join him in America.
Yeah, his friend was like, can I show me a picture? Oh, wow. Do you think she has a sister? Can I marry the sister? I would love to come with you. And then later on with his friend that drops him off at the airport, they're also very supportive of him with Memphis. They would love for him to get out of Tunisia and go to America for a better living.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a lot of the drama here is going to come between Humza and Mumza.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Mom does not really like this, that she's very concerned about Memphis, the clothes that she wears, and, you know, what does she want with her boy?
Yes. So there's a lot of skepticism coming from Humza's mom. And what we learn here from Humza, basically, and his living, he still lives with his mom and sister.
Mm-hmm.
And his parents divorced when he was 10.
Yeah.
And then His mom is pretty much his primary caregiver and does everything for him and doesn't allow him to help. These are the things we learn about him. So clearly they're a very tight-knit family of three. So, and mom is very involved with his life.
Right. And this is also red flag territory that I would imagine that when there is a man who is not self-sufficient in any way, that could be problematic in a new relationship, right?
Absolutely. Because like I will say, having been born and raised in the Middle East, now Tunisia is in Africa, but they do share some similarities to Middle Eastern culture. A lot of families roll like this where, if you're not married, you're pretty much still living with your family and the parents are still doing everything. So now some people branch out, they become self-sufficient, they do their own thing. Some people don't, they stay in. But what you said, Rob, rings 100% true. If you are talking about someone continuously as, and I'm quoting, you want someone that can, that you and your kids can trust, that can be a father figure, the dude doesn't do his own laundry or sheets. So I would be a little bit concerned about this because he might not be ready for not only doing stuff for himself, but for three other people. There's a lot of commitment right there.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably like a good man test of like, if mom left the house for a week, would the adult son die? That's like a good test. And if the answer is unclear, that's, I think, a red flag.
Yeah. Can your son keep the house in the and themselves in the same condition as if you left a cat alone for 4 or 5 days? If a cat can do better, then you're in a bad spot. It's not good.
That's not great. Okay.
No.
So, yeah, mom doesn't mind that she's a foreigner, but she definitely has some concerns about her pictures, which was short skirts. We find out that, shades of Brandon and Julia Puya, our friend, that Amza has maybe misrepresented the situation here, that Memphis, a woman in her 30s, would be allowed to stay in the same room as him. This is not true.
Mm-mm. Definitely not happening. Hamza, I think, thought that he could convince his mom about it, about, hey, listen, these are kind of outdated thoughts. Like, come on. Like, it's 2021. Can we do it this way? Mom was like, no, you cannot until you're married. And even his sister was saying this. They were like, you can't do that. It's not going to work. That's why she's going to sleep in the bedroom. You get the living room until you're married. And not only do I think Memphis is going to have a problem with this, Rob, but did you catch the next scene when they were putting sheets on the bed for her? And it's like the most childish cow and sheep sheets you've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Mom might have been with the intentional block here for this. I think that mom is trying to like represent, Hamza is a child, ma'am.
Yes. Yes, and there's nothing quite desexualizing about a bed than throwing on like cartoonish farm animals onto the sheets. I feel like that does make the bed very less alluring.
Yes, so I hear. So, Puya, what's the age difference with Memphis and Hamza?
Okay, so what do we learn about Hamza? Hamza's 28 years old.
Okay, so it's not a big disparity because she's 34. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 6 years. Not that much.
Yeah, really, that in 90-day terms, this is like nothing.
Right. However, I feel like when we learn about their ways of living and Memphis has come up and Hamza's come up, one of them is way older in life lived than the other, I would argue.
Yes. And do we get like a good backstory of why 28-year-old Hamza is a man-child?
Outside of the fact that it's just the culture that he's surrounded with and the way that, him and his family live, no. Because it doesn't seem like he's made any attempts to come out of this shell and be self-sufficient. Although he did give me something that was endearing. He tells us a little bit more about how he wants to help his mom out when and if he moves to the States. And it's because in his community, in his society, they see divorced women as less valuable and that his mom has a tough time finding employment as a result. So that did make me feel some feels.
Sure.
However, he didn't make it seem like he's staying with his family for that reason. he seems like he's staying with them because that's the norm, is what more likely is what he highlighted for us.
And he also spoke about that it's hard to find work in Tunisia in the current job market. But it also didn't seem like you would think that he would be really like scratching and clawing to try to find any employment, considering the situation he told us about with his mom. And I don't know if like this, if the kickboxing is like, is he like making any money doing kickboxing, or is that just a hobby?
No, that looked like more of a passion hobby type thing than an employment thing. I do think that he has kind of bottom lined it of, well, the salary is better on average in the States. So that's the move. That's where we need to go.
Yeah. He's playing the long game.
Yeah. And I think, you know, he mentions obviously that with the pandemic, it's been hard to find employment of any sorts. But also when he says that, is he trying to look for jobs? We've seen men on 90 Day before talk about how the market's rough for work, but then haven't been applying to many jobs and like specifically applying to like the ones they like and not everything to try and get something.
Let me also say this on the record. Amza, a good looking guy, got a nice fade.
Yes, I definitely have hair envy from Hamza. He's rocking a great head hair. Of hair.
Yeah. Beard is on point. So look, I understand where Memphis is coming from. She's willing to overlook a lot of these red flags.
It's a good looking guy, Rob. What can we say?
Good looking guy. Okay. Yeah. All right. So there, we're going to see Hamza going to go to the airport that he does not drive, Puya. We had heard about an unfortunate incident with the driving instructor.
Yep, he does not drive. He did go to driving school, looked like he could have passed, but he got into a tiff with his driving instructor and then failed. But then I guess he didn't go and get another driving instructor, didn't try. Otherwise, he just kind of left it.
He could have been on the bad list after that.
He might have been, blackballed from potentially doing more driving. That's fine, though. He has his friend Yusuf, who ends up driving him to the airport, who was, again, very nice, very supportive of his endeavors.
Okay. So we see Memphis. She's going to go freshen up in the airport. A lot of that going on here in the before the 90 day.
A lot of people are under the belief that when they get to the airport, if they slap some water on their neck and armpits, that they're magically going to freshen up and it's going to be good.
We don't see Mike try that, but yeah.
Listen, Mike did not try it. Gino didn't even shower after his flight. Most of the guys coming in are gross about it. Caleb was the only one that gave a damn. And then here we have Memphis trying to do something before meeting up with Hamza.
Okay. So then they meet up and happy meeting.
Everything looked great. They seemed happy, but almost instantly, Memphis realizes, this language barrier is going to be a bit of an issue for us. It's not going to be good. And you could tell this was going to be awkward for them because she's asking him stuff and he's replying with, it's cold outside. That was not what she asked. But hey, if they're going to make it work, Rob, that Google Translator app better come in handy.
Yeah, I feel good about them. I think that they're going to figure out a way to make it work. It seems like that the issue here is more going to be Hamza's mom.
Right. Well, we do see the next time on, and this is when Hamza breaks the news on the ride back that they're not going to sleep in the same room. And Memphis does say, well, he's already lied to me now. I don't love that. And we know that Memphis is organized, Rob. She had a 3-week plan on how this was going to go. Week one, meet and greet. Week two, marriage. Week three, honeymoon. Is it all going to work out? Is this going to change anything? We'll see. But I do agree, they seem to really like each other. So hopefully everything works out there. We'll have to see.
Puya, should we head over to Colombia?
Let's head over to Colombia.
Okay. All right. Meanwhile, in Colombia, let's go and check out Mike. So we see a little bit of Mike packing. And he is going to bring some toys and then also a ring. I was watching this questionable parenting choice by me that I was eating breakfast and watching this. And so my kids ended up going to the room. And my 8-year-old son was like, wait, he's going to get married to this woman and he never even met her?
Oh, Dominic, welcome to the reality TV living. Yes, yes, sir. He has plans. They've not met, but he has plans. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Yeah, he's getting married? Wait, what? I'm like, yeah, he doesn't even speak Spanish and she doesn't even speak English.
Yeah, how do you explain that to a kid? Of like, yeah, and also they don't speak the same language. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've never met. His family doesn't approve, but hey, it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So skeptical dad, skeptical grandpa, they give Mike some parting words.
They do. It was very sweet, Rob. I thought it was very sweet, the interaction between his grandfather and him. I actually do love the grandfather and that. I love that they were in the exact same seats as last time. Mm-hmm. They had not swapped spots.
Everybody's in their chair. Right.
They're chilling. It was great. I enjoyed seeing that little exchange.
Yeah. All right. So Mike's going to the airport. We had a cliffhanger last week of like, they told us next time, like, wait, hold on. Is she here? Is she there? Is she going to stand me up? We got that whole sequence here this week and she was just on a different floor.
That's it. She was at, like, not at the baggage claim, past baggage claim.
Yeah. Grasping for straws here on the, trying to make some drama on these airport meetups.
TLC will always try and fool us. We're smarter than that, Rob. We're not going to fall for it. No.
Okay.
Not all us. Right.
Flashback 48 hours earlier. Let's learn a little bit about what's going on with Jimena. Jimena has two kids, Juan David and Harold Steven.
Yes, two kids, 1-3, 1-7. We learn a little bit more about these kids. Juan's dad was a one-night stand. Simply put, that's what she said.
One-night stand.
Well done. Mm-hmm. Harold's dad, this was actually a very fascinating story. So
this
Harold's
is
dad,
a wild story.
Yes. So she meets Harold's dad through Facebook, okay? Through Facebook. Okay.
Boy, Facebook is contributing to a lot of the 90 Day Fiancé hookups and pairings, past and present.
It. I feel like if you told people which social media network would represent 90 Day, they would pick Facebook. And
yeah,
for good reason. It makes sense. So she had met Harold's dad on Facebook, but then he was in jail,
yep.
I guess.
Yeah.
What happened was it was something with his uncle and he tried to defend his uncle without thinking too much about it.
Sure.
So he ends up in prison and then she meets up with him in prison. Then the second time she went to visit him in prison, she got pregnant.
Well, so that now she got pregnant implies, okay, one thing led to another and like this, you know, these things happen. She tells us that this was a on her second meeting with this man in jail, this was a planned pregnancy to the point that she put her legs over her head. I'm not sure if that's like during the act or after. I'm not sure. I have to research. But with the intention of that she wanted a pregnancy out of this second meeting with Harold Stevens' dad.
Yeah, so it sounds like Harold Stevens' dad had alluded to, like, convincing her that we should have a baby. And she, you know, bought what he was selling, and then she agreed to it. And this was a planned pregnancy at the second visit, not a happenstance pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And, Rob, this is the part where you can correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like she's still into the dad. It sounds like she's still into the jail dad.
Harold Stevens' dad must have it going on because this is like lesson learned here. Okay. Mike has bought what? A table, a refrigerator, an oven,
a couch.
How many appliances? Okay. So we see Kimberly. She has bought Soulja Boy a PS5 and flowers and a honeymoon suite and a MacBook Pro and they can't get past potential. But this man is in jail, has met Jimena on but two occasions, And she went in with the premeditated plan. I need to be impregnated by this man.
Yep. And still loves him, but tells us that, well, I need someone that can support me right now. And he's going to be in jail for a minute. So that's not going to happen. It is fascinating, Rob. It's absolutely fascinating. And then
I'd like to see a picture of this guy.
I would like to meet him too, because what we hear from Jimena is that Mike is not the typical guy she's into. She likes big guys, is what she tells us.
I'm assuming
Harold like, Stevens
like big
dad.
Big Ed.
Big guy. Not like Big Ed. That's a different big. That's no. There's a big no, Rob. Definitely not. Okay. No one should be into Big Ed.
Yeah, she really does. Really. It's kind of a roast of Mike here from Jimena. She talks about how he is not the type of guy I'm normally with. He isn't handsome physically. His heart.
He's not handsome physically. He's handsome in the heart and handsome in the wallet. Those are good. Those are very handsome. I felt a little bit bad for Mike. I mean, we've not even seen them interact. She does tell us and her family that she's like in love with him. So maybe she's at a place where, you know, if she's not attracted to him physically, like looks aren't everything, but maybe the heart is what's brought them together and is going to foster a good relationship. But I'm not going to lie to you. Hearing all of this from Jimena, I'm immediately worried about the future of these two. Because she also can't really speak English, we learn. Mm-hmm. And Mike's going to try and propose.
Mike know this whole backstory? That he knows that where the kids came from, but I don't know.
I would love to know because it makes sense, even if he does know, that they wouldn't tell us, because TLC wanted us to get the reveal from Jimena.
I have in my notes, how is Mike going to react to her past? Because she says that she's nervous. Yeah.
Best case scenario is she hasn't told him and she tells him on the season. That would be the best case scenario for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So then Jimena's dad comes over, and Jimena's dad is concerned that Jimena is going to get hurt in this scenario with Mike.
I'm sorry.
Has Jimena's dad met Mike?
Yeah.
Has she seen a photo of Mike?
I don't think he's seen a photo of Mike. I don't think he's seen the apartment by Mike, furnished by Mike very popularly. Yeah, I don't know what the dad's expecting, but then also I can't blame the dad if we're hearing about Jimena's past and these are the past men. Mike, he could think Mike is just the American version of what's been going on in the past. Well, I don't think anyone has expected what Mike's going to be like, including his family. But then, Rob, in the next time on, we do see Mike literally meeting the entire extended family right out the gate.
Okay.
So they're all going to meet Mike real quick.
Like, really? Like, if you're worried about Mike, Dad, have you heard the story about Harold Steven? How he was conceived?
Harold Steven's got a whole memoir and is not even seven. Like, it's wild.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think Mike will have any issues with Jimena's past?
No. Mike has not been in a serious relationship beyond a year in high school. So. Yeah. Mike's fine. No matter what you throw at Mike, I think he's going to stick around.
Based on what we know about Mike, I think he's going to roll with the punches.
I think so. I think he's going to gamble. He's going to roll the dice here. Everything's fine.
Okay. All right. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, we're talking about Caleb and Alina. They finally met up. And don't go anywhere, because we got to still talk about Gino and Jasmine and the timing of Gino's medication and everything else that's going on with Gino and Jasmine right after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. Caleb and Alina. Puya, Alina is at the airport waiting for Caleb. So I just want to get a clear picture here of, so Alina's friend, what was his name?
Elijah.
Elijah got her to the airport, wheeled her to a certain point, and then left?
Yeah.
I mean, what if Caleb's flight got delayed?
Well, that's the thing, right? Alina had insisted to do it this way. So Alina had said it. I'm assuming if the flight got delayed or something, Alina would have called Elijah. He would have come up. Like, this was a very bad or like inconvenient way to go about it. But she wanted that magical first moment of gazing on each other to be alone and not with Elijah there.
Maybe so. They sort of like were looking at the big board. All right, his flight is all right. All right, get out of here, Elijah. Scram.
Yeah, shoot. Okay, he's in baggage claim. Leave now.
Go leave. Yeah. Okay. So Caleb sees her and gives her a hug. I found in this episode that the 90-day fiance participants were very loosey-goosey with the airport mask policies.
Yes. A lot of them, like Hamza arrives at the airport, no mask until Memphis makes him wear one. Memphis was masked. Alina was, Caleb was kind of like, he took it off midway. I don't love it. I really don't. Especially with things getting worse out here, but yeah, they are not following the rules all that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they make it seem like it's a little bit more of a recommendation than a policy at the airport.
Than a literal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So Caleb now is faced with a situation. I mean, he has all of his bags, but now also Alina is in the wheelchair and Caleb is remarking about that. Boy, this is a lot.
What did you expect, Caleb, you dummy? Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was acting like he has no idea what and how Alina's condition was. Like, he's never thought about it or seen it or anything.
Right. And also, like, he seemed perturbed about Elijah coming to help.
Yeah. You remember he was the one that cooked up a whole stink about it and how he wanted them to be alone. But then obviously now he arrives with his two suitcases. Alina needs to be pushed with the wheelchair as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to juggle both of these things. And he does have a moment where he crouches down to talk eye to eye. And already I didn't like the way he went about that. And then he does tell her, you're smaller than I thought and that it's different. And Rob, I know it's maybe too soon for me to say this. I have a feeling Caleb's out on this relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see. Let's see where it goes. But yeah, Alina, like, she was the person in the position of, boy, I am hoping to get some sort of a signal here that this is going to work out. I mean, I think it's easy to tell in all of these relationships, like who is the person who wants the relationship more. Here it's Alina. Like, it's obviously Mike. Like, it's clearly Gino. Like, it's clearly Kimberly. Memphis seems like a little bit more desperate than Hamza. We haven't met Johnny, but I think Ella is probably the more desperate person here. So, like, all these relationships, like, I think there is a clear person person who is like being pursued and the other person who is the pursuer.
I agree. And I think that Alina made this very clear throughout this episode when she kept saying, well, you know, why didn't he go in for a kiss? Why isn't he showing affection? Why isn't he hugging me? And, you know, Alina has talked about being very nervous about whether or not Caleb was going to regret his decision or not like what he sees. And obviously these are feeding into that because he's not doing that. She's feeling very insecure about all of this. Mm-hmm. And I feel sad for her because, you know, she's been waiting for this moment for quite a bit, right? And to see this reaction, especially from someone who has known her for 13 years, not that they've been speaking the whole time, because obviously there was a big gap in between that, like, decade plus, but from someone who's known you for such a long time, I know it's hurting her to not get that immediate, like, yeah, moment.
Right, right. Not even like a little bit. And this is only going to get worse. They get to the hotel and, you know, she's again looking for that confirmation. They arrive at the hotel and Caleb is like also perturbed, like, what? I didn't know there was going to be so many stairs here. What, I'm not used to having to see if a place is wheelchair accessible.
Mm-hmm. And he does say, yeah, I've never thought about the whole wheelchair accessibility before. There's a need to engage in and learn about this. Like, who are you, Andrew? Stop trying to use big words in your sentence. Just say that I didn't think about thinking about this and move on.
Yeah.
Okay, Caleb, just stop it, please.
He says he's getting a little overwhelmed.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And again, very clear that he put zero thought into this, Rob. Mm-hmm. Zero thought, which kind of tells you all you need to know, because what were the three things he packed that he had to? Protein, tarot cards, and Magnum condoms for his Megadong. So those are the things he packed. That's what was priority.
Okay. So they get to the room finally. Okay. And so he ends up, helping Alina get to the bed. But then he's asking like a lot of questions about freaking Elijah.
Yeah. So first he says, and this is where, again, I got fooled. I should know better. But he said, well, I'm glad that Elijah was here to help in hindsight. And I'm like, that's good. You're recognizing that you messed up there. But then she's like, yeah, he stayed with me though that night. And he's like, wait, here? Where exactly? Oh, my side of the bed. And then he's like examining the sheets.
What was he looking for? Like hair samples?
DNA? Like, I don't know. He was very much.
What was he
like
going to find?
I have no idea. But then she asked him, is it weird that he slept? He's like, yeah, I think it's a little bit weird that he slept in bed here. Like, what, did you cuddle or something? And she's like, no. He's like, well, you could cuddle. I cuddle with my friends. And I thought, then why did you sound irritated that mm-hmm. they could have been cuddling? Yeah,
and then why are you being a one-upper?
Yeah, I don't like. What do you think, this is a competition, buddy? Like, I don't know. So he says he cuddles his friends, and then she asks, "Well, when you hug me, is it like friends?" And he's like, "No." She's like, "I don't know. Americans are weird, so I don't know what you're like." Mm-hmm. And then he says that he has no mental energy and that he's going to go clean up and go to bed. And to Alina, this was, well, we've waited all this mm-hmm. time to see each other and you want to go to bed immediately. That's not a good sign.
She was pushing hard for a kiss. She leaned in. I mm-hmm. think she was putting it out there. I mean, she even had Elijah iron her outfit for this day. And so she was there and he got up to go. And I think I need to go take a shower.
Yeah. No, you could see the look of defeat in her eyes. Like, you could see she wanted the kiss. She didn't get it. And I mean, I don't blame her, Rob. If I had worries about how I was going to be perceived and rejection, and I've had a past where people have like literally ghosted me when I've gone to see them, then this is just bringing up all those feelings. And the person in front of me is not doing a good job of trying to convince me otherwise.
Mm-hmm. So Puya, where do we go from here? Do you feel like that we are going to see Alina and Caleb's like figure out some of their differences? Or is this just going to be like a awkward trip and then Caleb is going to be trying to get back to the U.S.?
I think the second one. I think what's going to happen is Caleb is going to realize he knows he's on TV. He's going to play this up to like, well, I didn't know. Wow, this is so much harder. And then I could see him trying to spin it in a, you deserve better than me. I can't be there for you. Yada, yada. He's going to have a problem with Elijah. That's going to feed into it. And then he's going to make his escape. But Rob, I learned something new this week about 90 Day that I didn't know before.
What is
it? And I found out that there are bonus scenes that are not shown to us. Yes.
And you would think they're so starved for content.
I know. I
mean, how could there be bonus scenes?
Instead of commercials, you could have been giving us these scenes because they do help with the plot. So first of all, I learned that these scenes only happen during the reruns of the episode Fridays and the Sundays before the new episode. They pepper in these bonus scenes.
So if you watch the repeat, then there is some new stuff. It's like when they used to have like the Survivor clip show and then you get like an extra scene.
Exactly. And it's not like the scenes are dumb. They're actually very, there's two scenes, one for Gino and Jasmine that I'm going to bring up later. One for Caleb and Alina, because Caleb does bring up that he didn't realize how small Alina was. But then in this clip, Rob, we learned that he's literally packed in his luggage it's like a human backpack. It's like, you know, the thing that for like to have a baby in the front.
Yeah.
But this is like
a papoose.
Yes. And it's for he puts it like you're supposed to wear it on your back and then the person can be sitting in the back. And he got this with him. And his idea was, well, I know Alina is going to have a hard time with like any hiking or sightseeing. So this way we can both see the world together and it'll be completely fine. So if you've bought this, then you should know what Alina is going to expect and how it's going to be difficult for her. So that's why I think he's a little bit
going to like, you know, full on Hodor this thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He should, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. But he's definitely going to make himself seem like a martyr for doing it. Yeah. I bet you anything.
Yeah, he's ready to hold the door to that cab. Let me hop in.
Yeah. Oh, is Elijah going to be in the cab? Then I'm out. I don't want anything to do with it. Yeah.
Okay. We'll see where they go next with Caleb and Alina. Last but never least, it's Gino and Jasmine. And boy, this was another wild week with Gino and Jasmine. What a roller coaster.
It's been so much fun, Rob. So much fun in that they're both horrible in their own way.
Both, yeah, insane in totally different ways.
And it's fireworks, so it's fun to watch.
Yeah. All right. So they're going to be spending Christmas and New Year's together. Presumably, this is Christmas 2020. So they're a full year in the past.
Yes. 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 They're a year in the past in their storyline. And he's arrived to have these, you know, festivities with her. So we saw them last episode. They were getting ready to go eat. And now we continue. They're going to the restaurant, what seems to be in the hotel. And Gino, first of all, he tells us, ooh, I'm going to have my first Panama meal, proceeds to order a burger with American cheese on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very Panamanian.
Yes. He loves meat, Jasmine tells us. Typical American. He loves his meat.
Yeah, he loves his meat. Your boy likes his meat with the American cheese on it, with the tomatoes, with the bacon. I mean, the burger looked delicious, so I can't fault him too much, but this was definitely Jasmine telling us that, yeah, I don't love it as a vegan. Mm-hmm. I'm not about this.
Yeah.
Sorry, vegan or vegetarian? I forgot.
I thought she said vegan.
Yeah. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. Okay.
This is where things get interesting, Rob, because a phone goes off and I immediately thought it was his phone. I was wrong.
No.
Yeah.
Jasmine's phone. She has a message from Paul. And so then we get the question from Gino. Who is Paul? You know, what's the report?
And Jasmine looked like she had just received the best news. She was like, oh, Paul? Yes. Oh, I'll show you who Paul is.
Let me show you. Let me show you this. Because, yeah, this was sort of like that. I'm trying to think of what this is. This is like in
Entrapment.
Like, entrapment is sort of like they went to go play like Go Fish. It's like, got any sevens? Like, no. Okay, well, let me show you my cards here. Because I don't have sevens. Let me show you what I have. Because now Now you have given me the authority to now ask you anything because you have opened Pandora's box here by asking me a question about one of my messages. So now I am authorized to ask you whatever I want.
Yeah, because then she shows her phone and says, look, it's Paulina, not Paul. See? Okay, good. Now my turn. Show me your phone.
You fool.
Opens Instagram. Oh, there's a friend request. Who is this? He's like, I don't know. She's like, okay, delete and block. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. And then she really turns on the control, Rob. She tells him to drink his wine, and then we're going to go to the bedroom. Tells him, you're paying because it's the first date. She went all in on controlling the Gino. Yeah. Seamlessly.
I mean, she literally says to start off the next segment that Gino should do what she tells him to.
If I tell you something, just do it.
That's it. Okay. So the check comes. And so that she told Gino, okay, it's the first date. You have to pay. Gino goes to leave the waitress a tip.
Yes.
Jasmine asks, what are you doing?
Why are you doing this?
Why are you giving this woman a tip?
Say, well, it was good service. I thought the service was good. You know, they got the American cheese. I like American cheese. Mm-hmm. They had it. So he was about to leave a tip. And she says, no. Rob, did you catch the reasoning why? Because I was a little bit confused on what she was saying here.
Yeah. So what she said is that I guess the Americans come here and then they tip the wait staff. And then the waiters and waitresses get used to it. And then the Panamanian people, they can't afford to leave a tip. And so you are ruining it for everybody by tipping.
So basically it's you're making me look bad because I wouldn't do this.
Yeah. But
right.
Like you would have thought, like if you just like sort of like give somebody the context about like this couple got into a fight, because you would think like, oh, well, he must have given her like, you know what, 45%, 50% right. Tip that. My guy Gino is only trying to tip 15%.
Yeah, he's not like loosening the purse strings all that much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Jasmine is like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You must have something going on with the waitress.
She literally said, what do you have with the waitress? You must be into the waitress. Jasmine, he's been in Panama for 45 minutes. He doesn't know anybody else. Stop this. I found that interesting because it caused me to go Google, because I know that for the longest time in the UAE where I was born, you were not tipping was not a thing that happened. It was not acceptable at all. Then it opened up, became a normal thing. I looked it up. In Panama, it's customary to leave about a 10% tip.
10%.
And even if the argument is, well, in the local, like in the town, it's different. They're in a literal, what looks to be a very swanky resort. And it makes, like, obviously the tourists are going to be tipping. Like, that made complete sense to me. This was Jasmine kind of blowing it out of proportion. To me, almost even in a, this will be a good opportunity to get some TV time way. Because I just didn't understand the leap Jasmine made. So it's either Jasmine knows what she's doing and is hamming it up, or Jasmine is absolutely on one and just, this is what we got to expect from Jasmine because she's wiling.
Mm-hmm. Yo, she's wiling. she's out of control. So that they go back up to the room and she's like, that's it. I'm going to take a shower. Gino's like, oh, that's not good. That's not good.
I mean, I don't know what you expected, Gino. She said she doesn't want the tip. So no tip. Mm-hmm. Not happening.
She just won't talk to him.
Yeah. Gino's so concerned about the pill too, of like, oh, wait, right now would be the perfect time for me to pop the blue pill if we're going to do stuff later. But now I don't know. It's like, Gino, you're going to be fine. Trust me.
Okay. When you say you're going to be fine, you feel like that when the time comes, Gino will be ready.
I think Gino's person would be fine.
Yeah.
Maybe for a very small amount of time, but well, would
So I think that's the issue. Like, so for Gino, I got the sense from how he's talking about this that I think he's less concerned about his ability to show up, more concerned about the performance enhancing power of that. I think he feels maybe that he might not be able to deliver the marathon performance here that might be what Jasmine can expect. He talks about setting the tone for the whole relationship. So, like, I think that is more of the issue, that he is looking to potentially, to use baseball terms, be able to get into the eighth, ninth inning of a game, as opposed to be a reliever who's going to come in and throw one inning.
Right. He doesn't want to produce a single. He wants to produce a whole album. That makes sense. All right, yeah. I'm picking it up.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And so okay. I think he needs the stamina to be able to be able to produce maybe more than one album in the night.
Right. And so he's worried about this. He doesn't know if he should go to the studio or call it a night. He doesn't know which way to have to go.
Call Soulja Boy.
Yeah, if Soulja Boy would tell you, listen, call it a night, play some PS5, your life is fine. You're okay. Mm-hmm. So then
the power move, leave.
It really is the most elite power move, because I don't think Jasmine's expecting this from Gino. So that would have been great.
If Gino said he was not staying in the room with Jasmine, she would have murdered him. And I think just like, ripped him limb from limb.
Yeah, he would not have made it out of that room unless he ran before she could retaliate. So... Mm-hmm. Rob, Jasmine comes out of the room. She says, I needed space. She comes out of the room in what I can only describe as lingerie. I'm pretty sure it was lingerie.
Pajamas, as Jasmine described them.
Lingerie pajamas is where that's the compromise for me.
Yeah.
So then I start realizing, okay, I think I know what Jasmine's doing. Jasmine then tells us that she wants to have sex. She thinks that'll be the best way to just put everything behind them.
A reconciliation.
Exactly. And to put everything back into its balance and move on.
Okay.
So.
Wait, hold on. Let's go back to Gino with the blue pill. Okay. Blue pill, red pill, matrix time for Gino. Should Gino have taken the medicine?
I mean, I think so. What's the... Okay,
downside?
Right. The downside is
He does not seem to have a short supply.
Right. He seems to be packing for the trip. He's fine. He got a whole box.
Plenty of ammo. Good. Yeah.
Right. And I think that it wouldn't seem like I don't see a drawback. I think he would have been completely fine to do so.
I wonder, could he take half?
Right. Just have a halfy. Mm-hmm. Why not? Why not? Because that's more
split
of a
the difference.
Safe.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Look, I don't know how this is going to go. Jasmine is unpredictable. Maybe yes. Maybe no. Like, I'd like to go to sleep if it's if nothing's going on.
And like, we're not going anywhere else tonight, so I'm home for the night. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that could have been fine. I think my biggest problem with him is that he didn't shower despite having traveled. That really bothered me.
Yeah. So Jasmine comes out and then sort of like, oh, wait, hold on. This thing, it's on. This is not a drill. Why didn't he take the pill and then go take a shower, but buy some time here? Instead, he's just fumbling around like, I got to charge my phone. And I'm like, she's going to explode. Like, what do you need your phone for? Was
the worst
call?
Thing. Yeah, he kept pushing that he needs to charge his phone. You don't need your phone. The only person in the world you need to answer to is here. So you don't need – that was a bad excuse. I agree with you. He should have said, all right, let me just go shower quickly, and then I'll be right out, and we're good to go. And then he could have taken his clothes and the pill. Boom. Done.
And Puya, not for anything, the way that this man was stumbling around the room trying to find a place to charge his phone did not give me a lot of confidence for whatever's going to come later in the night with Jasmine.
Oh, definitely not. I don't think he's going to find anything if you're picking up what I'm putting down. I don't think he's got the map. I don't think he knows. Yeah. Gino, more like don't know. I don't think he knows. Yeah.
I mean, seemed to have some issues.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Navigationally speaking, not in the right place. Then when we saw the preliminary moves in the kissing and the, and the holding, well, it was all, so
did,
awkward.
Did he get in the bed with his shoes on again?
Yeah, he did. He did. He's very right. Gross.
Gino, okay. If you're listening, all right, step one, okay? You're going to want to take your shoes off.
Yes. Shoes off.
Look, like I don't have all the tips, but I'm going to start here.
Yeah, my nickname isn't bad moves. It's not good moves. It's moves. So we still have something in the department to give you. Okay, Gino. Your nickname is becoming bad moves real quick, though.
And so then Jasmine tells us that Gino needs to know how to deal with the beast that's inside of her. Puya, what was Jasmine referring to here?
I think that Jasmine was referring to when it comes to bedroom stuff, that's when, you know, the freak in the sheets saying comes into play. I think she means that she is very much like alive and active in the bedroom.
See, I wasn't sure if she was referring to the like, okay, that Gino has to understand. I'm going to get, when he tries to tip a waitress, I'm going to get mad about that. Or it was she referring to that, hey, there is, fox, demon fox inside of me. And that is the beast that he needs to be able to tame.
Yeah, no one tell Ella, but no, I think that the tip side of things, Rob, that one's a given. I think she assumes that he should know that, but the stuff he wouldn't know about is the bedroom stuff that they've not had a chance to do yet. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah.
So then they get into the bed and Gino is just like laughing and giggling and talk about like, you're so hot and sexy.
He's 51, 52.
Yeah.
The bedroom talk is at a zero. Mm-hmm. He's giggling. And listen, she seems to be into him still. Like it's working on her.
She hasn't kicked him out. No, but then what's going on with his shoulder? He has some sort of a work injury.
I don't know what he could have been doing to throw out his shoulder, but I guess he leaned on it a little too much and he was like, no, we have to readjust my shoulder. And like, they haven't done anything yet and his shoulder hurts. So I don't know what she thinks she can get out of him. Mm-hmm. And then Rob, she tries for it. She goes for the Hail Mary, says, take off your hat. And he said, no, I will not be taking off my hat. I would like to keep it on, please. Choices.
Gino, I mean, this is a woman who has told us that Gino should do what she tells him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to push back on the hat.
It's wild. It's interesting to me because, again, she is the one person that you should be cool with seeing you without a hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see how that's gonna where that's gonna take him, and I don't see him winning that, Rob. I'm gonna predict we're gonna see Gino without the hat. I am.
We'll see. Puya, next week when we come back, do you think will we get sort of the aftermath? Where will we find out? How did Gino do?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah,
they're going to tell us what Gino did in the bedroom and how it was. Jasmine will.
She will. I will say that I have some faith in Gino that I feel like that. I think that just the overall excitement and just like the anticipation, I think is going to help carry the day here for Gino.
But did we see him take the pill? Did he do that?
I don't think he took the pill. No.
It might be quickie. It might be a very quick review here. I
think
he
bounces back. I think he's that he's put that much energy into getting here.
Okay.
I think that that there is a level of just overall excitement that I think that he is. I think Gino is going to be okay.
Okay, so you think Gino's going to be fine. I think it's going to be a Gino no, and then next week we'll find out which one it ends up being.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Puya, anything else about this week on 90 Day Fiancé?
I really couldn't say so. It was, now that we've talked about everything, it was actually very fun. I enjoyed myself.
Yes.
And next week looks like it's going to be a lot of fun as well. So we're going to be having content full of podcasts coming through. So it'll be great. And then I will not be talking about The Single Life this week. I feel like I've already taken enough time out of my visit here with the old in-laws. So I'll have to head on back. But then next week, I'll do a double feature with this week's Single Life and next week's Single Life at the end of the podcast.
Hey, double feature of Single Life coming up next week on the podcast. Puya, anything else coming up for you this week?
Let me think about it real quick. I don't think so. I think that's about it for me here. It is weird because there's no Masked Singer now. Mm-hmm. So we got the Masked Singer holiday at this point. But no, Rob, this was a pleasure. Got to do this with you. I will be back on my Twitch stream when I get back home. So about like the weekend is probably where I would aim for that. Twitch.tv/Puya. And then all eyes on when we come back together again for 90 next week.
Okay. All right. Well, Puya, so much fun to go through this. Looking forward to seeing where we go next with all these wild characters. So happy to have you along. Talking to you, breaking the fourth wall, the listeners at home along with us on this journey. Of course, you can subscribe. Make sure you don't miss any of the 90 Day Fiancé between this season and all the future seasons of 90 Day Fiancé. Subscribe at robiswebsite.com/90Day Fiancé. I'm sorry, 90 Day Feed, I should say. And then, of course, we will have some best ofs coming up this week, the best of RHAP. Maybe there'll be some 90 Day Fiancé talk there along the way. Spoiler alert. Be on the lookout for that. Plus, we'll get into some Amazing Race preview as well here on Rob's podcast. So thanks so much for joining us. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.